here and you want to come, you can come up and sit right up here. You guys are good. You guys are good if you want to. Yeah, you're already in the front. I mean, I don't know how much closer you want to get to this scary mess. Anybody? Oh, great. We have some more coming down. Maybe I'll be a little less muffled. You guys can have a seat right over here if you want. It's kind of small. It's not really big and exciting, but I got some packs of gum with me. You guys like gum? Yeah? Who doesn't like gum? Let me open this real quick. You want a piece of gum? Is it good? What's wrong? What's wrong with it? There's nothing in it. What in the world? You saw, I just opened it. Well, that's weird. What, how, here, try the last piece. Is there something in that one? No? That is crazy. It's a, man, that's just confusing. I bought this and it's empty. It does smell like mint. No, I didn't eat them. I didn't eat them at all. You just saw me open the pack. That is confusing. And man, that's nuts. I want to read you something. Thank you. It's my assistant. It says Saturday evening, when the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, went out and purchased burial spices so they could anoint Jesus' body. Very early on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, they went to the tomb. And on the way, they were asking each other, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" But as they arrived, they looked up and saw the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled aside. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in white robes sitting on the right side. And the women were shocked. But the angel said, "Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He died. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Look, this is where his body was laying. Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter and Jesus, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there, just as he told you before he died." The women fled from the tomb, trembling and bewildered. They were confused. You see, even back then, when somebody died and you put them in a grave, they stayed there. They weren't expecting this. They were shocked. They got to the tomb and it was empty, just like these gum packets. I opened it up and it was empty. And we were shocked because when you buy gum and you open it up, you expect there to be gum in there, right? That's what you expect. And they expected there to be a body, but there wasn't. And they were shocked, confused that the tomb was empty. And Jesus had risen. And he comes and he teaches them that. And he teaches them how all that was planned to save us. All right, I know I gave you guys empty candy. So give you some actual candy. How about that, real quick? Make up for the empty. You're welcome. Happy Easter. All right, Fred.
Raise your hand, Brother Ben. Jesus is risen. Amen. It's It's good to see everybody here this morning. It's good to see some faces we haven't seen for a while. Glad you're with us today as we celebrate the resurrected Jesus. Yeah, we can praise God. So thankful to see everybody. Let me take this thing off. I want you to open your Bibles. Well, first of all, I want you to turn to John chapter 11 and just kind of mark that one, if you will, please. John 11, just put a marker there. And after you... You need a new assistant, brother. Is this your first day? Okay, yeah, there we go. He's okay. He meant to do that. Okay, after you turn to John 11, mark that, then I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 3, if you will, please. Philippians 3. Today we, for the past several weeks, 5 weeks including today, we've been talking about the cross. And we've been looking at different aspects of the cross and what that means to us as believers. And today we're talking about resurrection power. And I really plan to conclude the cross series today, but I've got one more, okay? Next week, we're going to be talking about renewed hope, okay? That's going to be our emphasis for the cross next week. But in Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 11, I want you to listen to the Apostle Paul. Paul writes, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. Say that with me. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now, during this series on the cross, we haven't talked much about the resurrection, merely because I did not want you to miss the shame and ugliness of the crucifixion. Because it is at the cross where hearts are pricked and lives change. The resurrection is what motivates, energizes, and drives our Christian lives. Resurrection provides hope and joy and eager expectation, but it is at the cross that must define us. It defines us and it defines our Christian lives. Dying to self, service to others, obedience to God, are the eternal lessons that we learn from the cross. I mean, Jesus had to die on the cross before He could enjoy the benefits of the resurrection, and we must do the same, and that's why we are to pick up our cross daily and follow Him. On the other hand, without the resurrection, the cross is merely an instrument of death. I mean, if Christ did not rise from the dead, we would not be honoring Him this morning. In fact, we just might as well just go out the door and leave if Christ did not rise from the dead. I mean, without the empty tomb, Jesus of Nazareth would be just one of thousands of helpless victims who were crucified by the Roman government during the first and second centuries. And it would certainly, you know, be tragic that a loving, compassionate, caring, innocent man must die that horrible death, but nothing more. Nothing more. That's why Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14, if Christ has not risen, then our preaching is useless and your faith is in vain. But yet we believe wholeheartedly that Jesus rose from the dead, or we would, again, we wouldn't be here this morning. That's why we're here. But how does the resurrection impact our lives? I mean, what difference does it make? Does it change anything? Does it help us, you know, in dealing with, you know, life struggles and problems and difficulties that we face? I mean, when Paul said that he wanted to know the power of Christ's resurrection, that not only included His resurrection, but also the power that was available to him right there and then. The resurrection power of Christ did more for Paul than just give him a future hope that God would one day raise him from the dead. Because it gave him strength to rise from the grave situation that he was in presently. As Paul wrote those words in Philippians, Paul was in a Roman prison awaiting possible execution. And yet Paul writes in Philippians 1, verses 20 and 21, he said, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I mean, whether Paul lives or dies, he will bring glory to God by the resurrection power of Christ. And like the Apostle Paul, the resurrection of Jesus Christ gives us hope, power, meaning today, because we experience it in our daily lives if we don't overlook it. I love this story. I shared it before. Okay, I'm going to do it again. But there's a story about a Sunday school teacher. A Sunday school teacher had just finished telling her third graders about how Jesus was crucified and placed in the tomb, and a great stone was placed before the tomb, sealing the tomb. And then wanting to share with the excitement of the resurrection and the surprise of that Sunday morning, she asked, and what do you think were the first words that Jesus spoke when he came bursting out of that tomb alive? And a hand shot up in the air from the back of the room and leaping out of her chair. A little girl said, I know, I know, I know. Good, good, said the teacher, tell us. And extending her arms high in the air, she sang out, ta-da! You know, we are not to focus only on the cross of Jesus, but on that empty tomb. You see, three men died on the cross that Friday, but only one walked out of the tomb that Sunday morning and shouted, ta-da! I want us to take a look, first of all, at a biblical example. Biblical example of the resurrection power. So turn your Bible where you marked over to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. I love this chapter. I preach it at funerals because it talks so much about what we understand here. But in verses 1 through 3, Jesus receives word that his beloved friend Lazarus was sick. Listen to what he says, verses 1 and 3. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and Martha, our sister Martha. And verse 3, it says, so the sister sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. Now, although Jesus was about a one-day journey from Bethany, he does something very unusual. Let's go ahead and bring up that next slide, if you will, please. He does something very unusual. He stays in his location for 2 more days. He just received word that his good friend Lazarus is sick. He's a day's journey away, and he stays for 2 more days. Now, if we received a message informing us that a good friend was deathly ill, we would immediately rush to his side if we were able, especially if we had the power to make him well. Yet Jesus realizes that the purpose of Lazarus' sickness and his impending death is so that God will bring glory to him. Verse 4. Now Mary and Martha, the 12 disciples, and others are going to witness the resurrection power of Christ. Now by the time that Jesus arrives in Bethany, Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Martha hears that Jesus is coming, and so she runs out to meet him. And in verse 21, you know, she cries out, Lord, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And Martha had seen it done before. She's seen Jesus heal diseases before. She and her sister had sent word in plenty of time for Jesus to come to Bethany to heal their brother. I mean, and she was right. If only Jesus had come, as soon as he received word, Lazarus, their sick brother, would be well today, and he would be alive today. And can you imagine how those words from Martha must have hurt our Lord? I mean, Jesus loved these people so much. To see Martha's tear-stained cheeks and to hear the disappointment in her voice must have been hard to hear. But yet Jesus tells her in verse 23, he says, your brother will rise again. Martha probably lost track of the number of times she heard it while she stood at the body in the tomb of her brother Lazarus. Friend after friend stepped up to her, kissed her, and they all said, your brother will rise again. And now comes along Jesus, and he says the very same thing. And choking back the tears, she says, I know. I mean, I know he's going to rise again on the resurrection of the last day. But yet that didn't seem to bring much solace to her right then and there, to bring much comfort here and now. Jesus knows in a little while she is going to be so happy, because she is going to see her brother come walking out of that tomb. But yet she realizes that if only you'd be here, that's the only thing that she could think of, if only you would have been here, my brother would be here alive today. And yet you delayed. But then Jesus gently reminds Martha of who he is. Listen to him in verses 25 and 26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? He asked Martha, do you believe this? I mean, he wants Martha to understand, you do know who's standing beside you, don't you? I mean, I am the resurrection and the life. And if I say your brother's going to live again, he is going to live again. But then Mary, the other sister, came out to see Jesus, and she fell to his feet crying, Lord, if only you had been here. If only you had been here, my brother would still be alive. He would not have died. Verse 32. Now by this time, Jesus is overwhelmed by emotion. And he begins to cry. I mean, he knows what he's going to do, but he has such love for Mary and Martha that he can't hold back the tears. Friends, never think that your pain and sorrow does not touch the heart of God. Because when we hurt, God hurts. He loves us deeply. Jesus loved this family deeply. But then in verses 38 and through 40, Jesus is led to the tomb. And once he gets to the tomb, he says, take away the stone. Now, Martha, I mean, she just doesn't understand what's happening. She says to Jesus, Lord, I mean, by this time, there's a bad odor. He's been there for 4 days. I mean, his body is decaying. But yet Jesus has already told her that he is the resurrection of the life, and those who believe in him will live even though they die. Friends, I want you to understand that we cannot live by the resurrection power of Christ if we cannot see beyond the impossible. If we cannot see beyond the problem, whatever the problem may be. And if we focus only on the grave situation that we find ourselves into, we will overlook the power that is available to us today, right here and now. After the stone is moved, Jesus begins to pray in verses 41 through 42. Just listen to his prayer, okay? 41 and 42. So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here that they may believe that you sent me. I love the way that Jesus prayed. He thanks God in advance. He thanks God in advance for answering his prayer. Friends, this is the way that we need to pray. Amen? This is the way that I need to pray. I mean, there are times I approach God in prayer thinking, man, really, what's the use here? You know, he's not going to answer this prayer. And then I sometimes wonder why there's no power in my prayer. But yet not Jesus. He prays believing. He prays with confidence, knowing that God answers his prayers. And then Jesus cries out in a loud voice in verse 43, and he says, "Lazarus, come out." Say that with me. "Lazarus, come out." Oh, I love it. You see, when the resurrection, the life speaks, graves open. Graves open. For 4 days, Lazarus' dead body laid in that tomb. But when Jesus spoke, all the powers of hell could not keep Lazarus in that grave. That is the power of resurrection. Amen? The power of resurrection. But how about us? Secondly, I want us to understand that the resurrection power of Christ is also available to us here and now. It's available to us. We are all believers in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Am I right about that? Okay, you're here. I think that you're a believer. I know you're a believer, or you wouldn't be here. However, believing intellectually in the resurrection and experiencing the resurrection are two different things. They're two different things. I mean, the fact is, we believe that Jesus is the resurrection of life because at some precious moments in our lives, that is what we found Jesus to be. We found him to be the resurrection and the life. I mean, we may believe it in our heads because we've read it in the Bible or we heard preachers preach about it. But deep within our soul, we believe it because we have experienced it. We have experienced it. I have seen the resurrection power of Christ demonstrated time and time again. And you know, I've been a preacher for 38, 39 years now, long time. And I have seen the resurrection power of Christ over these years working in the lives of people that is just amazing. I have seen the desperation of people who have lost a job. They lost their jobs. You know, and it's a crushing blow. And this past year, literally in America, there have been millions of people who have lost jobs, some within this congregation, because of the COVID-19. And often their sense of self-worth is shattered and financial concerns weigh heavily on their heart and mind. But when they are finally able to tap into the resurrection power of Christ, they look at their grave situation from a different perspective. I mean, many realize that the job that they did have really wasn't what they wanted to spend the rest of their life doing. And they had to make changes, sometimes very hard changes, but they end up doing something that truly brings them joy and fulfillment that they didn't have before. And after the death of losing their job, there becomes that resurrection, knowing that there are things that is beyond my job. My job is not what defines me. I can find something that God will lead me to help me to take care of my family. I observe people who have faced and are facing life-threatening illness with quiet confidence, people who somehow see past the hopelessness of the grave situation to a farther or to a greater hope that they have in Christ Jesus. As many of you know, in February this year, I lost a dear friend of mine who died from the COVID virus. His name was Jack Cummings. Preacher friend. I've known him for years. This is a photo of actually Jack and his wife Sandra, their 50th wedding anniversary a few years ago. Jack lost his wife Sandra in 2019 to cancer. And then this year he succumbed to the COVID virus. But before putting him on the ventilator, Jack wrote these words on Facebook. And I want you to listen to these words. He said, "To all my friends, I have spent a lifetime trying to share Christ and His love and His compassion and His message of salvation. I'm probably going to have to go on a ventilator for COVID. I'm going to come off of it in a few days, either physically healed or spiritually healed. In either case, I win. Praise God, you can do that. I win. Love you all, he says. 9 days later, my dear brother was standing at the throne of God singing praises to him, with his wife standing right beside him. I have known those who go through the heartache of divorce and all the pain and chaos that brings. And the hurt may last a lifetime. But I have watched as they begin to live again and find new life through the resurrection power of Christ. And then there are those who have lost loved ones. And just as a darkness hung over Martha and Mary, they have felt a kind of darkness hovering over them, a numbing pain. But then they experience the resurrection power of Christ, knowing that death is not the end for a faithful Christian. Amen? It's only the beginning. It's the beginning of the true life that we are meant to live. And yet, I know that there are members of this church who during this COVID crisis have lost loved ones with that horrible disease. And although we are saddened by the loss of our loved ones, we are so thankful to God because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that they are now with God in heaven. Amen? Amen. Jerry Jones, a preacher and author, tells about a Christian man and his wife who lost their young son in a tragic accident on Good Friday some years ago. And the boy's funeral was on Easter Sunday. And during the memorial service, the father got up and he shared with his family and friends that Easter had just taken on a brand new importance to him and his wife. Until you stare death into the eye to eye, he began sobbing. Easter is just a word. It's a nice day, you know, with bunny rabbits and eggs. But when someone so precious to you dies, Easter becomes everything. An anchor in a fierce storm, a rock on which to stand, a hope that raises you above despair and keeps you going. So let me ask you, have you ever experienced the resurrection of the power of Christ in your life? Have you experienced that? Yeah, amen. Praise God. We've experienced it. You've experienced it. I mean, there's been a time when you felt like your world was caving in and you felt so helpless. Am I right about that? We've all experienced that as well. But then you turned your cares and concerns over to God and He gave you a sense of peace that everything was going to be all right. I mean, at the moment you couldn't see it, but you believed that everything was going to be all right. The storm was still raging on the outside, but on the inside was a calm resolve, knowing that God was in control and that you are going to come out of that grave situation more wise, more humble, more strong, more faithful than when you went in. Amen? I mean, we've all been there. I mean, you went in feeling lifeless, but now you come out alive more than you've ever felt before. That is what resurrection power means to us. Tony Campolo, author, preacher, wrote a book several years ago entitled "It's Friday, but Sunday's Coming." And it speaks of the victory that we have through Jesus Christ because of this resurrection on that Sunday morning. And I'm just going to read an excerpt of what he writes. He said, on Friday, Jesus merely looked like a pathetic, helpless, defeated Jew hanging naked on a cross. But that was Friday. Sunday was coming. On Friday, Roman soldiers brutally tortured Jesus and executed him as a criminal. But Sunday's coming. On Friday, Mary is crying her heart out because her baby Jesus is dead. But Sunday's coming. On Friday, the disciples are running every direction like sheep without a shepherd. But Sunday's coming. On Friday, Pilate is strutting around washing his hands, thinking that he has the power and victory. But Sunday's coming. On Friday, King Herod wanted to see miracles and then mock the one called Christ, but Sunday's coming. On Friday, Caiaphas sneered, the people jeered, and the women feared, but Sunday's coming. On Friday, the earth convulsed, the sun darkened, the tombs were cracked open, but Sunday's coming. On Friday, Satan danced a jig saying, I won, I won, I killed the Son of God, but Sunday's coming. That Sunday, the angels, like dazzling lightning, rode the stone away, exclaiming, He's not here, He is risen. Ta-da! I want to close this morning with a video song by Chris Tomlin entitled, Is He Worthy? And as you see this on the screen, you're going to see words for the song that you can sing along, especially during the chorus part of the song. If you want to sing along, you're welcome to sing along. When Chris Tomlin asked questions about the worthiness of Jesus Christ, you can certainly sing along. Can someone get the lights for us, please? Thank you, brother. We do. Troubles deep.